And please be seated. Fiona Seddon is going to read our first reading from the Bible. Thank you.
The reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, and can be found on page 954 of your pew Bibles. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I read from Mark chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. When Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately, as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom, the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. Dearest Lord, thank you for the gift of your holy word. Help us to listen to it with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to respond to it with courage, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Charles, thank you for your invitation to preach today and for your very warm and gracious welcome. It's lovely to be back here in a place which means so much to Sue and to me. It's a place where I grew in faith at a pivotal moment in my life, where I was blessed by seeing God at work in people's lives, and I was blessed by walking with companions, spiritual companions, who showed me God. And among them was Beverly and John. who together with their family today celebrate 60 years of marriage and give thanks to God for the companionship and love with which they have been blessed. My ordained ministry was shaped by their love for God and their authentic example of Christian discipleship has been hugely influential in the lives of many of us here today. And we gladly surround them with respect and gratitude and affection. John told me not to talk about them in the sermon, but rather to focus on Palm Sunday instead. So as his former curate, I'll be obedient to my training vicar, at least for a while. Shut your eyes, do, and in your imagination, will you come with me to the dusty, smelly streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago? Imagine in your mind you see a procession escorting Jesus down the Mount of Olives into the city, the hill that's still there today. And you and I, we stand in a crowd, and Jesus is coming nearer. We can hear the sounds of people shouting, others appearing to look. Many can't see. Where is he? The narrow street is now so crowded, we can almost touch him as he passes by. People are cheering. Many faces that are tired and wondering where the next meal is coming from, they are illuminated as if from within. There is a joy coming from within. Can you sense it? They are catching a glimpse of something that they know is real, and palm branches are being placed on the road like a red carpet. A red carpet. It's green, and people are treading on it. Anybody can tread on it, but this is for the king. But not all are happy. Look around you. In your imagination, look for the faces that are not happy. Some are grim. Faces reveal always what is going on inside our soul, and they are angry. They are resentful at what they hear the crowd saying about Jesus as the Messiah, and if looks could kill, and killing Jesus is clearly on their minds. So, what should be on our minds as we mark Palm Sunday once again? We see here an example of courage. When he enters Jerusalem on that day, Jesus knows he's moving towards the thing he dreads, to the agony of the cross. He knows what is ahead of him, yet he does not turn back. His enemies are plotting his betrayal, his humiliation, and his death. They want to use the most horrific way that is open to them. But displaying great courage, Jesus continues with his ministry. He completes his journey, however fearful it might be. Here is courage. Costly. Calmly undertaken and different from moments of spontaneous gallantry, which is often recognized by the award of a medal for bravery. Now, this is a different kind of courage. Here, Jesus, as he borrows a donkey and rides into the city to face the hatred of those who hold the power of life and death, his companion is fear. But fear would be faced head on with nothing more than his integrity, his transparent holiness, and above all, secure in the knowledge of his Father's love for him. I don't know what you may be facing at the moment. There may be things ahead of you that frighten you. Here is an example on Palm Sunday of courage to face what needs to be faced with your integrity, with your holiness, and with your security in knowing that you are loved by God. We also see an example of simplicity. Jesus enters Jerusalem at this pivotal moment in his ministry on a borrowed donkey. The truth is, he had nothing of his own that he could use. Not riding in a chariot, which was a symbol of wealth and power. Not riding on a stallion, like Poldark. Sort of a symbol of might and power, and in this case, a symbol of kingship, no. But on a donkey. Close to the ground, my height, I could look him straight in the eye. Not up there, but down here. This is what our church proclaims. It's not God up there, it's God down here. God in you, God wanting to be your companion as you understand more of the simplicity that you are being invited to reveal. Here is a simplicity which cuts through the usual trappings of power to reveal the true nature of greatness. And have you noticed that throughout his ministry, Jesus identifies himself with and alongside the experiences of those who live simply, and not with those who spend energy trying to find fulfillment in material things, nor with those whose lives become cluttered up by anxiety about things that don't really matter. Remember, when he was born, Jesus was laid in a borrowed manger. When he was buried, Jesus was laid in a borrowed tomb. And for his royal progress as a king, Jesus enters the city on a borrowed donkey. An example of simplicity to challenge us. And then we see an example of humility. By entering Jerusalem in the way that he does, Jesus is asserting something very significant. He is asserting and claiming the title of Messiah and King. Is this the action of a megalomaniac with an enlarged ego? Some thought it was. But his life and his teaching and his miracles and all that he was and did backed up this claim, provided you were willing to see the Messiah through a particular lens. If you wanted an example of power, you were going to see it in a way that would challenge your willingness to look for it and recognize it. He is making here crystal, crystal clear the character, the characteristic of the spiritual life, the characteristic of that which is in the heart and mind of God, hungering to find it in his people. Jesus is not accompanied here by troops bearing swords to clear the way, only by ordinary people waving palms and getting in his way. The procession was not spectacular. The imperial army of Rome watching would not quake in its boots at the sight of this ragbag collection. Yet here is Jesus making plain the kind of king he was, the kind of kingdom that he comes to build in people's lives, and the kind of people who will inherit and recognize this kingdom and want to live in it. He comes not to win a military victory. It is never his way to force things, overpower people. This is not the politician trying to manipulate something. This is a king in coming to love and serve you and inviting you to recognize him for who he is. The power he demonstrates here is not in order to overwhelm people, but to release them. And that's so significant. And how many people have formed wrong impressions of the church and Christian faith because the church has attempted to be powerful and manipulate and force, and it loses its characteristic of Christ when it does. The power that Christ demonstrates is not to overpower you, but to release you. To live and soar like the eagle, to soar, to fly. And the doorway into this kingdom is open, wide open, but it is set low enough that only those who are humble enough will be willing to enter it. The door is open, but it's narrow enough to ask those who are cluttered up to let go of what they carry and simply come in. And of course, there are those who cannot do this, just as there are today. Maybe somebody here today, it's just the word for you. You need to allow this to happen. Until you do, you're not going to be able to see what the kingdom's about. And the simplicity and the humility of Jesus simply jars with the Pharisees. It doesn't fit their expectations. And so they plan to kill him. Courage, simplicity, humility. Do you remember I used to offer you 3 points? Now I'm a bishop and I'm giving you 4. Courage, simplicity, humility, and love. L-O-V-E. It's one of those things that is easy to talk about. I can do it for England, but it's a reality that words cannot contain. Love is something beyond words. Yet when we encounter it, we know it instinctively, and we recognize it. And shut your eyes again, if you would, and come in your imagination back to that crowd. Jesus is getting nearer now on that donkey. And you're looking at him, wondering if you can see him. And suddenly there's a gap in the crowd and he looks straight at you. And he holds your gaze. It is as if there is nobody else in the crowd and he's looking at you. And in his eyes you see warmth, you see love, in a way that intrigues you and you want to be near it. And as he passes, he's still looking at you. And now the look is saying, will you come with me? Will you come with me? Lord, the light of your love is shining. In the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. And today we gratefully acknowledge how Graham Kendrick's words mirrored here, "May our lives tell your story," how they have been true in Beverly and John. I've never seen John riding on a donkey, and I don't think I could imagine Beverly on one either. But in their lives, we have seen light shining upon us. And we give thanks to God today for their courage, simplicity, humility, and love. You see, there was a point. Those are the characteristics that God is looking to see in us. We've seen in them an example of courage. Courage in simply holding true to their Christian faith over 60 years of ministry together in an increasingly secular and skeptical culture. Courage in speaking out in the magistrate's court, in encounters with people, as a priest, as a magistrate, seeking truth and justice. Courage in seeing the good in someone that others are talking about and giving up on, and courage in offering forgiveness when others have hurt them and let them down. Courage in challenging, as I've seen myself, challenging powerful people in PCC meetings and in the wider community, and often offering an alternative and more loving perspective. And courage in facing their own personal illness and difficulty whilst always being positive and focusing on others. We've seen in Beverly and John an example of simplicity in making large vicarages into places of welcome and hospitality despite costly heating bills, leaking roofs, and endless interruptions at the door. We've seen simplicity in their personal and family priorities, pointing their children and their loved ones to the things that really matter and bear fruit in their lives. And simplicity in being able to talk to anybody at any level without being judgmental or pious and listening intently to what others are saying. We've seen an example of humility in Beverly and John. They offer intelligent and thoughtful insights without superiority, and there's no pressure to agree with them. They bring a holiness that is accessible and earthed in practical reality, and they make you feel special and loved. Somebody said to me this week that Beverly and John bring a love which has no strings attached, which makes us want to attach ourselves to the source of that love. And it is an example of love we say thank you for today. Modeling Christian marriage with faithfulness, companionship, and mutual support for over 60 years. And that does include, as those of us who've been in the car with them know, the ability to completely disagree and sometimes flatly contradict each other quite regularly without rancor. Love, too, in nursing the sick, as we have seen them do, holding the hands of the dying and being alongside those who are bereaved. Whether singing in the choir, which I never managed to do, or preaching in the pulpit, or sitting in the pew, they are authentic examples of what Palm Sunday is all about. Human beings who are in love with God. So on this Palm Sunday, we thank God for Beverly and John. They journey on into the 61st year, secure in God's unending love for them, just as Jesus traveled on to face what lay ahead, secure in his Father's unending love. And on this Palm Sunday, may we, you and I, each of us, simply follow in their footsteps with courage, simplicity, humility, and love.